let's have a school of prayer today. I just want to look at something in the school of prayer. I want to explain a principle. Actually, I'm writing up something on it, and it just stayed on my mind. I said, okay, let's just share it and use it to pray. And I want to, on the basis of that principle, all right, lead us in some a round of prayer for the body of Christ today, and that's all right. We pray for the body of Christ. And the Lord is good. I just want to explain a particular principle to us again, all right? Let's open our Bibles to the book of John chapter 14. I want to read verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And it says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Please notice that. Just want, I want to bring out there. And in the book of John chapter 1, there was something he said there. John chapter 1, the Bible says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. That's in verse 5. It now says in verse 9 that there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Now, please bear all these things I'm saying, all right, in mind, or we are reading in mind. And then in a moment, I am going to say, you see the reason why I'm reading it. There's another one I want us to read, which is, let me just refer to it. Jesus said something at a time in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are the salt of the earth, and then you are the light of the world. All right, he now says, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Please bear that in mind. And then last of all, I want to read one more. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Where I want is verse 16, but again, let's just start from the beginning of that paragraph. It said, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. That's what I want. When he talked about the church of the living God, the body of Christ being the pillar and support of the truth. Now, I've read a number of scriptures, all right? I'm trying to bring out something, all right? None of these things. You see, I've just read many. You see what I want to bring out from it. He said that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's concerning Jesus Christ, it was spoken. He now said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, I read all of those things. I'm trying to bring out a principle, all right? And you see where I'm leading to, and I want to give this to you, not just as a way of understanding today alone, but as a prayer point which you should pray all the time. Please, it's very important. It's very, very important. It is very, very important what I want to explain again to us today. Let me say this again to us, talking about prayer. Prayer is very important. The reason is because many things God would like to do, he cannot do. The word is cannot. What did I say? Cannot do until people pray about them. Do you understand? What he does is to lay the burden in the hearts of people. The way God has done it, please understand this. This is the way he has done it. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth, he has given. You understand? He gave it. He gave it. He gave it. Do you follow my point? If I bought, a computer and I gave to my son, you know, I was the one that the Lord blessed with the money. And then I went and bought the computer. But then I now gave it to that boy. When next I want to use it, I must ask his permission. I cannot say that because I gave it to him and he's living in my house, I am the one paying the rent, I am the one who built the house, I am the one feeding him, buying his clothes, and I say because of that, anytime I want that computer, I just take it. It doesn't work like that. Are you getting my point? Once I give it to him, I must have his permission to use it. Otherwise, it will be trespassing. All right? I will just be bullying him if I don't ask his permission. He may be a little boy, maybe your son is a teenager. You can't just walk into his room, take his computer. You are going to make him feel bad, even though he can't harass you about it. But the truth is that God doesn't break laws the way we do. But at least that helps us to understand that it is not right to have done like that. So if God says, I give the earth to the sons of men, What that simply means is that before he does anything on the earth, did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Did you get it?
Yes, sir.
That simply means that before he does anything on the earth, he must talk to the sons of men. Therefore, he says, surely the Lord God does nothing except he first reveals these things to his servants, the prophets. Why the prophets? Why didn't he say just his servants, good people? Why didn't he say just his servants, righteous men and women? Why did he say his servants, the prophets? Because the prophets must prophesy. The prophets must, by their words, all right, allow. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is when your will aligns with the desire and the plan of God. Prayer is not just your desire, all right? Prayer is not supposed to be. So John said that, 1 John chapter 5, all right? He said, if we ask anything according to his will, that's what it means. He hears us. That's what prayer is, all right? Why do we have to ask? It is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So that's why I said like this, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. That is, God has a will, is recorded in heaven. For it to be done on earth, human beings, you and me, must open our mouths and say, will of God be done here. That gives him the legitimate right, all right, to come and do something. So if I give that stuff, maybe I'm a very rich man, all right, and I take a whole house and I give to my son. I say, this house is now your own. If he has a problem inside the house, all right, I won't just say, hey, I heard there's a problem. Let's go and start solving it. No. What he will do is to call and say, since you can solve this problem, come and solve the problem. If the roof of this building is leaking now, and then there is a carpenter, a specialist in high-rise roofs, right, like this, in front of it, and he comes for Bible study every day, and he feels when it's raining, he drops on his head also. He won't say, yes, because I'm a prayer. He'll just climb and start knocking something. No, he will walk up and say, Israel, can we fix this? He has to ask permission. Are you getting my point? It is when we now say, go ahead and fix it. The need is obvious. His ability is obvious. But prayer is when you say, please fix it. And that's why, you know, that's why the Bible says that God knows you need these things before you ask. Are you getting my point? And that's why I say, before you ask. So the asking is small, you know, you just, if the fellow is willing, let's talk this house matter again. We have a leaking roof, we have a problem, and we have a man of ability around. And a man that not only of ability, but of extreme willingness. But he can't do anything until we say do it. But the moment we say do it, you understand my point? Instantly, he sets about doing it. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. You know, there's a mistake Christians make. That's a Christian. Yeah, human beings generally. Now, let me just explain that again to us. I always like to clarify these things for people. They look at this like this. Now, please, before I lose track of what I'm saying, this is not my message yet. I'm trying to explain the importance of prayer, where how we will connect it to something. That's what I'm trying to do. First, before we go back to where we began from, why we read those things. All right? Please, just bear it in mind. Now, this is a mistake Christians make a lot of times, and I don't want you to make that mistake. They just assume that because they are doing the work of God, everything will just be all right. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes. Listen, it doesn't always work like that. You have to, if it is necessary for you to pray about something. I know it's very funny. Let me tell you something. God sent you on an assignment. You know, okay, this assignment you are going on, pray that will help you. Like, which kind of joke is that, man? It's your idea. I don't know whether you get my point. The human mind is that if it's your idea, why should I now be asking you to do anything about it? No, it really doesn't work like that. The reason that when God commissions the assignment into your hand, the whole assignment is your own. I don't know whether I get my point. Everything you will get from him has to be because you asked for it. Even though it's his assignment. If I tell my sons, okay, take my car, go down to Nichanga and bring some stuff that your mother left there. That's the assignment. If he enters into the car, starts the car, and finds that there's no fuel, he has to return and say, how far? Fuel money. Are you getting my point? The whole assignment is his own. I'm going to explain the issue of prayer. Now, prayer is not always the way we... It's not agonizing. That's where the mistake is. As if you want to plead with God, please now, how far, do something. That's not what it is. All right? It is just giving him the right. So that it can be as trivial as you wake up in the morning and say, today is blessed, no evil will befall me. Are you getting my point? Can be as simple as that. All right? I call all my needs met today. Lord, release your power. You know, just a trivial statement. But it has to be made. Please, you are getting what I'm going to explain? That's just the way it works. That statement must be made. So Christians often make the mistake. They think that, okay, because I'm doing something for God, though, you understand? Everything will be... No. It's God's ministry, I know. But you will still kneel down and say, in the name of Jesus, let every need come. Every need be met. Let supply come. I speak to supply. Come in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not begging. It's not like, you know, this is how some people say to do. You now wake up every morning and say, how much is the money? We need 2.5 million. Every day, you now pin 2.5 on the wall. I'm saying, 2.5. I talk to you. No. That's carrying it too far. Are you getting my point? Yes. That's carrying it too far. Yes, that's what I look at. That's why we'll not start using spiritualism, all right, and adding it to it, okay? We're not worshiping 2.5. We're not worshiping methods. We are just simply praying. That's why we can afford to say a prayer once and leave it there. Because once we have offered it and our faith is still in that prayer, it has given God the right to release. Please, what I'm saying, I hope it's clear. You are following it, all right? So you are running a ministry. Yes, it's for God. Your life, it's for God. You're an assignment from God. You still have to open your mouth and make certain petitions. Not as if you are begging him. It is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But this work he has given to you, O child of God, it is now your own. I hope that is clear. Christians must understand it too. As people now think that, okay, because I'm working for God, I'm doing things for God, everything will just flow. I understand what you mean, but you must understand that your responsibility is still to ensure that the things flow. It's not by your own strength. That's why people make the mistake. They now think that, I've heard somebody counsel me before, now God has sent us, doesn't mean we won't use our wisdom. No, we don't use our wisdom. We use divinely granted wisdom. Are you getting my point? And the foundation of that is prayer. That is why, so, maybe in ministry now, I have ideas. I just, it's simple. I wake up maybe one night, I just sit down on the bed. Lord, how do we move this thing forward? Okay, these are the ideas we have. Open doors in the name of Jesus. Send help in the name of Jesus. You understand? Just statement. It's not as if God will say, by force, so see help, see it by force. No. That is why Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So what did he say next? So he said, you now have to beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his own harvest. Which kind of harvest is it? Whose harvest is it? They will not have to talk to him to send laborers into his harvest. Where was he? Can't you see that the laborers are few? Actually, he can. And in fact, he has prepared laborers. What he's saying is just say, Lord, send. That's why the prayer is not hard. It's not, brethren, tonight, we are going to shake the doors of heaven until he begins to send laborers. Begin to be laborer, Abba, go laborer. No, it's as simple as, oh, Father, we give you thanks because the harvest is plentiful. It's ready. But laborers are really few. So we are asking you, send laborers into this harvest field. Send help. Send resources. We need plenty of money. Send us plenty of money. We need plenty of wisdom concerning what to do. Send us plenty of wisdom in the name of Jesus. Literally, 5 minutes, we are done. Literally, 5 minutes, we are done. Prayer is just as simple as understanding what the will of God is and saying to God, do your will in my life. As I said, thy will be done. That's how it is. Will of God be done. Very important, all right? I just want to emphasize that again. So, you have children, all right? Prophesy over them. Pray for them. You know, you can only pray to God concerning what he wants to do. You can never ask God for what he does not want to give, and you will get it. It's not possible. If you get it, it will not be a blessing to you. That's why all this one of people always trying to pray without studying. understanding God. It doesn't work. The foundation of effective prayer is effective learning. Learning is a foundation of praying. If you're not a learner, you are going to be praying wrongly. Guard your steps when you draw near the temple. Draw near to listen. Anything else is a sacrifice of a fool. Are you getting my point? You can never ask him for something he was not planning to give, and that thing will be a blessing. Never. Never. It is possible. You know, I don't want to go into that now. That's why I'm testimonies there. I did testimonies. I judge testimonies according to the word of God. That's it. That's why, you know, sometimes when you say things, that the one I wrote here, who's going to hell? Some people are saying that, God really spoke to those women. He said, it's because I didn't watch the video. I said, I don't want to watch it. Why are they going to tell me I don't know? That the soul that sinneth shall die? I know that one already. Don't you know it? I mean, Abraham said to the rich man, he said, send Lazarus to my brother. Say anything Moses has not said, Lazarus can't say it. If they do not believe Lazarus and the prophets, they won't believe any man that claims he went to hellfire and came out. But I said, look, all those people that said they went to hellfire and came out, anything you say that's not in line with the word of God is confused vision. You are lying. Say, maybe they saw real vision, but by the time they woke up, they added their own to it. You know, human beings do it.
Yes.
They do. They use the opportunity of demon possession to say what they wanted to say before. You say, well, it was the demon that possessed me. People just talk kind of thing. You know, people do that kind of thing, all right? What I'm saying is that why people say that is that they don't have understanding. You tell me that you died and went to heaven, and when you got to heaven, you saw only men. Say, why? Say, because the women were busy plaiting their hair. These men do more wicked things. I hope you know. So if you tell me when you got to heaven, you didn't see women because they plaited their hair, I know you are lying. I don't need to watch your video. If that's what is reported that you say, you are telling lies. You didn't see any vision. They lied to you. When you smoke Indian hemp, you see things. Sometimes when you fast too much, you start hallucinating. Anybody know the principle of hypoglycemia? Yes? All the bad things inside your mind will just congeal and form spirits. And I told you before, some people that say that pushing them at night is all their iniquity. They know they have offended everybody in the neighborhood. So fear will start pushing them at night. And that's a spirit. I don't believe that simply because I've read the scriptures and I know God looks at the heart, does not look at the hairstyle. Is that not your Bible? It may not have been like that, but but you know what I'm going to say. So when you get down to heaven, you had better tell me what God sees in the heart that makes him send people to heaven or to hellfire. I'm saying all of this to let you know that understanding is the foundation for all our spiritual work, even when it comes to prayer. You cannot ask God for that which he's not planning to give. If you ask him and you harass him enough and you get out of him, it will not be a blessing to you. There was a time he said to the children of Israel, what you need now is manna. I feed you with manna in the wilderness. They said, no, we want to eat meat. The Bible says that he gave them meat according to their lust, but that one brought leanness into their souls. There is nothing that you get out of God by force that was not planning to give you that would be a blessing to you. Nothing. So when we're talking about praying, we are just saying, God, that which you wanted to do, do it. So when we say will of God be done, there are things that we have learned, they are written, they are recorded. That's it. It just is like that. That's why sometimes I tell people that, listen, don't get into too many. People say that you have to be extremely specific when you are talking with God. You know, I don't agree with that. You know now. And it's not as if that's the only thing I don't agree with the popular teaching on. You know, many things. Now, why I disagree simply is this. What you are sure God wants for you, you can be certain of, is what he said. For example, he promised you that you will never lack anything good. All right? You can't get too specific on the height and color and dent and mileage and all of that of the car. Do you get my point? Yes. Because sometimes you ask for things, you don't realize they are not going to be a blessing to you. Maybe you think, maybe all your life you've been driving Toyota Corolla. Then you started believing God for a Toyota Land Cruiser, thinking it's the same amount of fuel the two of them consume. You understand my point? Uh-huh. You know, God can see your heart. He thinks that this young boy, this young lady thinks that these two cars are the same thing in maintenance cost. He has not prayed to me for more money. Yet, this little money he has, he wants you to fuel this 8-cylinder engine. So you just have somebody one day, go and send him help from above. So one day you'll be to where people are gisting. One man said, I just came back. How many? Oh, I spent 50 liters. No, 50 liters? 50 liters? No, my car only uses 20 for that distance. He said, are you serious? Wow, the man will think you know what you are saying, not knowing you are so confused. You understand my point? He said, wow, how did you change your engine? He said, it's a very good Corolla. My finger, we were talking about Corolla here. I'm telling you, I drove a Land Cruiser. That's why they don't know you that your prayer point needs to be revised. So I go back and say, Lord, the car is very nice, but I think I can wait. You are getting my principle. So what we pray is best to pray with the word of God. If you have something that's really, it's specific enough, all right, you can present that, okay? That's why I say when you say that I want a husband that is this, like this, like this, complexion like this, height like this, weight like this. You marry the guy slim like this, he go fat like this. So what happened to your prayer point? It has been altered. You see what I'm saying? About these funny specifics. Uh-huh. So what do you do? Uh-uh. Let's take the woman's side because we have very good scripture for that. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. He said, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Why do people now pray about charm and beauty? When the Bible says it is deceitful and it is vain. I heard one story once. A man sat down and prayed. In fact, my wife and I are still referring to it this morning. Prayed for the kind of wife he wanted specifically. And do you know when the woman manifested? She was totally accurate. I don't know what I heard the meaning of the word accurate. If he said he wanted 5 foot, 6.25 inches, she was precisely 5 foot, 6.250. You know, that is God said, nothing above, nothing beneath. Except that it was Jezebel that did not finish dying with Ahab, that borrowed modern day flesh and showed up. You know what a good man should have prayed about? He should have simply said, Lord, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for a woman who fears you. Simple. I will give him a help that is fitted, suited for him. So, Lord, give me a wife that is my perfect help. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Say, Lord, you know in my place, they like the women to have long hair. You can't buy it. they say hair for market, though. Yes. I told you that if you meet a woman for the first time, don't check her height from here. Check it from there. You understand my point? Yes. Uh-huh. So leave all those things. You understand? Let us learn to do what the Bible calls approving the things that are excellent. Approve those things that are what? Excellent. So when a man wants to pray, listen, you focus your attention. God says, I give Adam a wife that is, I knew he needed a help that is suited for him. So, Lord, I need a help that is suited for me. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So limit your prayer, please, to those few things. That way your faith never wavers. That's my understanding. The time of which you say, draw a woman on the wall. I used to hear it too, maybe I preach it small. I repented of foolishness long ago. Pastor Bank, I say it's foolishness. Yes. If you can draw a good heart on the wall, please. You shall be the official photographer or official artist. Yes. Draw the good heart on the wall. Maybe you draw a woman with two hands raised and eyes closed, tears streaming down, eyes worshiping the Lord. Even that one self is dangerous. No, because I've been going to church for a long time. Listen, trust me, I've been going to church for a long time. Some people who roll on the floor when they are worshiping the Lord, as they are rolling on the floor, their heart is standing like this. So when you finish rolling, let's get back to where we normally roll, man. So what I'm trying to say is that forget, there are things you can't draw on the wall. You understand my point? So leave them alone. Pray about things that are, you follow my point, that are excellent. Thank you. Pray about things that are excellent. I'm talking about prayer. That's what it is. What is that which God wants to do? Then every other thing can now be added. Things that are added by God. Are you getting my point? I want to say they are added. He asks them the way he wants to add them, when he wants to add them, at the measure with which he wants to add them. You know, some people ask me, when is your program on Omega Channel? I said 7 a.m. That's Nigerian time. Every Saturday on Omega Channel. I said, but I saw you the other day during the week. I said, that one was added. Because Omega has a rule. Once you pay for prime time, they give you the equivalent time free of charge at their own discretion. That's what I'm talking about, added. So I tell people that I cannot tell you when they will air it. They may for this. Maybe the next 4 weeks now start airing us maybe 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. Then before you start announcing that we are there at 9 a.m., they don't move you to 11 p.m. on Saturdays or on Fridays. You can't tell. It's added. But the one you pay for, they'll give you that one. That is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all those other free broadcasts are added. You get what I'm going to explain?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that is the way it works. That is the way it works. So let's pay for our prime time with God. What's our prime time with God? The things that are what? Excellent. You want to pray for a good husband? Know what to pray for. Don't be praying for a very tall, maybe, want to have a Hummer that goes out of fashion the day after your wedding. Yeah, I guess what I'm going to explain. Those are things that will be added. And I feel like just telling you, you will drive a Hummer, you'll be tired. Say amen now. Huh? It doesn't have to be Hummer itself, it can be anything. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, I'm not condemning you to drive a Hummer. I mean, like, I just say, it's figurative in that sense. Things that people are striving for, you will have them, you'll be tired of them. That's the point we're making. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, I just did all of this to explain the importance of prayer again. We've done it again and again, but we just want to do it one more time and how it works. All right? And prayer is the center. We've been talking on Saturdays about the fulfillment of God's promises. I preached a message some time ago, which I called Poor Jonah, Activating Prophecy by Prayer. All right? The promises of God, you also activate them by prayer. If you feel like you're not experiencing according to that which is promised, sometimes it's a matter of prayer. And it's not about grumbling. That's another point I should probably quickly drop. You don't go to God and be grumbling. Eh? Where are you? Where are you? What's going on? Where are you there? No. It's like I said, life is warfare. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's what? Warfare. It's a battle of what?
Words.
So what life has been trying to do to you is to make you doubt. That's all it is. It's trying to create a spiritual atmosphere inside you that rejects blessings. Maybe I will use that to get back to the main thing I wanted to say, alright? It's trying to create a spiritual atmosphere inside you that rejects blessings. That's what life tries to do. And so you have to revert forcefully. That's where you actually fight. The fight is to ensure that your heart does not deviate. Because if your heart is like this, the Bible says you cannot receive. Not as if God cannot give, but you cannot receive it. If God is trying to give you something, he can't give you because today you are here, tomorrow you are there. Alright? So what you do is that when life starts trying to explain, no, you just take the word of God. Remember, that's what prayer is. We take that word and simply start saying, this is the word of God. I believe it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And I say, will of God be done. Will of God be done. He said, I will be blessed so much that I will be a blessing. Well, my business is not growing so well that I'll have enough money to take care of myself, take care of other people, and be able to employ people. Something's kind of out of order according to that blessing word. Are you getting my point? So I just settle down there and start declaring in the name of Jesus, the word of God to me is that I will be so blessed, I will be a blessing because I'm a descendant of Abraham by my faith in Christ Jesus. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Every hindrance I reject. You know, you're speaking the word of God into existence. And then God begins to reveal to you why it's being blocked. That's one major thing that God does for us. He opens our eyes. We understand why things are not flowing. Because I say all the time, no matter how God loves you, he never blesses disobedience. Never. Let me say it to you again. If you like, you know, I will get back to this message, Sha. Let's just try and continue talking now. All right? Let me just continue talking. No matter how much God loves you, he will never, ever bless disobedience. Never. Never. Let me say it again. No matter the amount of messages you listen to, he will not bless disobedience. Pray. Invoke, you know, cast out every demon. Cast out demons until demons don't exist on this earth again. God will not bless disobedience. So, what does he do? When we start lifting up the word of God again in our lives over every situation, if there is a reason why things are not flowing the way they are supposed to do, one major thing that the word of God brings to you is correction. And until people accept to be corrected, they can never experience blessing. Listen to yourself. Just pay attention to me for a moment and look inwards. Ask yourself, can I be corrected? Listen. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. You know that?
Yes, sir.
So the fact that you think you are right means you are one of the many people. Don't think you are unique. You know, I just know I'm always right. No. So what you do all the time, you pray like Eli who taught us to pray. That which I see not, teach thou me. It's very important. The reason is because, you know, I've thought about, this is not just something I'm saying just now. I've thought about it again and again and again and again. I've seen people, the Bible says, he that is often reproved and hardens his heart, that the same person will be destroyed without remedy. I've seen people that, you know, maybe the man is having issues, either business or ministry and all of that. You ask yourself, what is going on? Then you suddenly, in my mind, I connect back to the time that people say, look, what this man is doing is not right. Let us correct him. And he got angry at the correction. Even if the people correcting you are wrong, listen to it. Don't get angry. Are you getting my point? Listen to it and don't get angry. And this is what you do with words of correction. You know, I thought about that over the last few days for certain reasons. This is what you do with words of correction because, oh God, I believe I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. We'll get back to our message in a moment, all right? This is what you do with words of correction. You use them to pray. Otherwise, every man will be running your life. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you know, like I say to people all the time, you listen to advice. You don't always take it. But you must be one that listens. Because half of the advice I've heard in my life, in fact, most of them, like in ministry, they are wrong. They are totally in disagreement with what I understand from the word of God. But I will listen. There's a man who walked in here one day, told me he's a prophet of God. He doesn't just go everywhere anyhow. I was standing here. We're doing something here. He came, wanted to see me. Yeah, that's right. He called me to the side there, having a very spiritual look in his face, that he's a prophet of God. All you that go around preaching and teaching, they are the common church workers. Those of us that prophesy. I said, okay, so what is it? He told me what the Lord said he should tell me. I thanked him. I wasn't angry. I even had to rebuke myself. Don't laugh, you know, like in my mind. I had to tell myself, don't laugh at this guy. And I actually took what he said to heart and I went and prayed with it. It didn't make sense to me, but I said, let's just pray about this matter. You never can tell. And there was one man, I read his book. He said one day, a man came to the front of his church and was shouting, that God is about to bring judgment upon them. Then church members, Concord and Pastor, we have a problem. He came out. So they thought he would call the police. To their shock, he took the man into his office. They wanted to collapse. He said, we collapsed in there. This is how correction comes. You just drive it away. Say, let me hear what the man has to say. So he took him to the office, sit down. He said, you're a man of God? Yes, sit down. What is it? He said, God said they are not taking care of the poor. He said, is that all? No problem. He quickly got the interpretation. Bros is hungry. So all this one of God said, God did not say. Instantly, he got the point. He settled the guy. Are we taking care of the poor now? You know that kind of thing. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what do you do with advice, with correction? You always hear it, and then you take it to pray. You use it as a prayer point. It's very important. In fact, one sister was talking to me some time ago. So one woman prophesied to her that she had subtle pride. And she said to herself, she was telling me, that that no matter how anointed you are, that is one thing you got wrong. She said to herself. But this is the funny part. Once you say that, you have pride. Yes. A humble man never says, I'm not proud. The moment you say it, it's a sign of pride. One day a woman talked to me and said, I know I was well brought up. I said, madam, let's hear it. It's your husband that should be telling us. I told her. The woman had had it up to here with her. You know, she used to harass my life. So one day when I told her, I said, madam, listen, forget that side. Your husband should be the one telling us how well brought up you were, not from your mouth. That's why she didn't like me. You know, one of those reasons. You're telling me you were well brought up. Have you ever seen anybody tell you, I was badly brought up? I will go wound you just now. Oh, nonsense. The Lord is good. God will say, let another praise you, not your own lips. You understand? Anything that you don't have references for, stop uttering it. Now, a very quiet person. You are the one that thinks so. Because you can't hear the sound of your own voice, so you think you are quiet. Let other people be the one to utter it. All right, that's what the Bible says. Let another praise you, not your own lips. Now, so the lady said that later she was discussing with me, said, I didn't even realize it. And people are proud of different things. Some people are proud of that, the fact that they pray a lot. Still pride. People are very proud of the fact that they know the scriptures. It's still pride. They're very proud that there's nothing they don't understand. Still pride. The Lord is good. So whatever it is, we take it. One day they said it, what should I have done? Simply take the matter in prayer. The reason is this, you will never be blessed until you are corrected. Let me say it to you again. You will never experience the blessing of God until you have been corrected. Never. No matter how good you think you are. Why do you think God was dragging Abraham up and down? Drag and go Egypt today. Tomorrow go here. Today meet Abimelech. Tomorrow meet Pharaoh. Tomorrow you and Lot go quarrel. Just to bond this Isaac. 25 years of work up and down. Why? Because God had to remove every reason why he could not receive Isaac. Jacob, he was in the house of Laban all those years so that he would be able to receive the blessing. Are you getting my point? The one of the greatest blessings God gives any man is to correct him. God wants to bless a woman, gives the fellow correction. Anyone that does not understand or accept correction. I've seen people that, let me not be the judge of human beings here, but when I see somebody can never be corrected, it's always an explanation for what he or she is doing, and it's not my fault, it's their fault. Why do you talk so much? They always make me talk. Why are you always hot-tempered? They're always provoking me. Everything, it is them. Why don't you ever relax? It is life. Life ensures that, it's never me. I'm never the problem. It's always them. If you just change them, I'll be fine. In fact, I'm fine. They are the ones, see all of them. Nobody is normal there. I was fighting yesterday. No, I didn't want to fight. It was that man that went and pushed me. Tell him to stop pushing. Then I'll stop fighting. You understand my point? Yes. That is somebody that's going to be destroyed. Somebody who will not accept blame that I'm the one that's at fault. That is a person that will not be blessed. So when you hear a word of correction, you use it as a prayer point. My experience in life and studying the scriptures is, it's called the power of grace. God doesn't give you instructions so you can obey them. He gives you instructions so you can use them to pray. I'm serious. Obedience is a sign of faith. So if he's hard and he's, you are doubting, so you want to use force to obey the instruction, you will soon fail. You will keep on failing. You use instructions, all right? You use them to pray. He said, God says, go out of your father's house and go somewhere else as a believer. You know, I said, okay, thank you very much, Lord. You now get down and pray, Lord, I am leaving my father's house in the name of Jesus. I receive the strength to leave my father's house. One day you wake up in the morning, you realize you're already halfway out of the father's house into a strange land. But we sit down and say, we are going to go. Hey, hey, we are going to go. You're not down the way. You won't understand what. Christianity is very funny. Person just down the way. Say, what happened? Hey, that's what happened to Moses. Moses sent him, then God met him on the way, wanted to kill him. He didn't understand that instructions, all right? That's what Christianity is. All those things I used to pray. Are you saying that I shouldn't obey? No, I didn't say so. I'm just saying that you need to tap into grace that makes you go on your way. That's what I'm saying. That's just the point I'm trying to make. The ability to pray is one grace, is one, let me use the word, favor. Yes, one of the greatest blessings that God has given people. I've reached a point in my own life now, if I feel like I have to do something later, it may be hard. It doesn't move me anymore. You know why? I don't even think about doing it.
No, what's the problem?
I know that all I need to do is right now, just take the matter, let make it part of my prayer life. If I'm driving, I'm meditating about it, I just start praying about it. You know why? The day the doing will come. You will have finished doing it before you realize you did something. That's why I told you, heard the day I was in my house, we were watching The Passion of the Christ. My wife was there, Joy was there, and the two of them were like, real beating. But in that one, that is serious beating. So I just said something. I said to them, I said it wasn't paining him. My wife and Joy looked at like, wow. How can you say that? I said I wasn't paining him. I know some of you like listening to some of these strange things I say. But when I said it, I meant it. I wasn't joking. I said I wasn't paining him. What? I said it wasn't paining him. I said, just imagine this. I said, let me take you to the garden. And you will see where pain is. See, this one is bleeding because they beat him. Enter the garden. He bled without anybody touching him. I listened to Derek Prince. Derek Prince said that the Bible says that the tears that drop from it, that the way we interpret that, the sweat that dropped from his brows were like, we thought was, he said they were thick like blood. I'm a doctor, I learned physiology. You understand my point? Sweat can never become as thick as blood. It's not possible. If you get too thick, you crystallize into salt. It's just water and a bit of salt. Never gets thick. Derek Prince said the literal thing is that the sweat from his brows were great drops of blood. That is, the agony in his soul broke his skin. Blood started dropping out. I told them that was where the pain was. We're not teaching on that now, but it's clear. You see it. He refused to leave the garden. He kept on returning to pray until suddenly the grace came upon him to move. And that's why I said to the two women that day, I said, all this beating wasn't entering him anymore. I know it was painful in itself. If you had to measure use the nerves, you know, you connect something to the nerves and you see the impulses, yeah, they were great. But if he tried to connect with his spirit, it was almost numb. He won't feel any pain. Why? Because he had suffered the greatest pain in the garden before those guys showed up. And that's the way your life and mine too should be. You want to go out and go and struggle into obedience. God said, forget that one. Obedience is my duty. Faith is your duty. Obedience is a sign of the completeness of your faith. So settle down and work on that faith. So when the word of God comes, listen, the degree of obedience is tied to the amount of confidence in that word. Eve could not disobey God until Satan created doubt in her heart. As God said, you should not eat. No, we can't eat. We can't eat. Why? We will die. He said, wait. You will not surely die. Once you receive that word, you will not surely die. Suddenly the fruit took a different look. So they began to perceive that it was good.
I never saw this color. Was it this color? Wow, my God. See how big and nice it is. And she was seen written all over it. Wisdom. Wisdom. Make thee wise. Make thee wise. All of this was possible simply because doubt was created in her heart. It's the other way around. On the other side. The intensity of faith is what decides the degree of obedience. Therefore, what do we do with instructions? Therefore, we take them home and use them to pray until confidence is built inside you. So that by the time you take the action, you don't even feel the pain. One illustration I use quite a bit about this was when Bishop Oedipo said, one day somebody came to him. It was one of his daughters in the Lord. Said, people are saying bad things about you. We know how much you suffered. So he said, suffered. I suffered. Oh, these people thought I was suffering. Are you getting my point? Yet, when you listen to some of his stories, you know actually, in quote, the suffering happened. What does that tell you? The suffering happened outside, but the man did not feel he was suffering inside. So when people said that, oh, we know how you suffered, like, who suffered? Me? When? Why? For what? During which period? And that's how it is. When it comes to obeying God, things that look hard, listen, don't just carry the matter. Settle down with it. When you wake up in the morning, this is the direction our life is going. Father, I receive grace in the name of Jesus. I'm an obedient child of God. I believe the will of God concerning me must be done. You understand my point? Take the matter, make it a matter of prayer point. You will have finished obeying it before you realize. You know, before I hear someone say, somebody just died for Christ like that. You know, somebody won't behead me for the gospel. Now, wow. You never thought about it before. So you'll not be thanking God. Say, thank God we don't live in those countries. And then as time is going, I realize that, man, these things are getting closer and closer. And you actually go to those countries and come out once in a while. Go to those territories. It doesn't worry me anymore. No, I'm being honest with you. It doesn't. I don't believe any true saint of God cries when they want to be heading for the cause of Christ. No. In fact, God won't allow that. In fact, he will find it funny. Wow, beheading. Okay, now. This is my own conviction. Before that axe hits the neck, the fellow has left the body. He's already seen the glory of heaven. Other than they were stoning Steve. Our Steve was not feeling he wasn't feeling one pebble of stone. He wasn't feeling it. Trust me. He wasn't. When he was looking at him, he said, I see the Lord standing. Kill him. Kill him. As I said all of that, the guy wasn't there. He was somewhere else. He was seeing different things. I'm sure when angels say, hey, Steve, how far? Did they kill you for them? Who be that? He said he saw, Lord, please forgive him. Then his mouth will move. Lord, forgive me. He doesn't know what he's doing. Don't mind, foolish boy. Don't worry. He will preach the gospel. Say, we know. Just let him kill somebody first before he preaches the gospel. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now that's what we need to understand. That's how prayer is. That is what prayer is about. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let us get back to our message. Where were we reading? But you've gotten the point, of how important prayer is and how easily it works. All right. So I said I wanted to give us a prayer point. Now, having said that, I said all of this by talking about truth. I want to just realize this. There's something I said, was it here or was Nonicha was preaching? Yes. When God said you are the salt of the earth, and Jesus was speaking, I said, what does salt do to salt anything? And the answer is nothing. All it needs to do is be present. Salt will salt anything if it is present in it. You understand my point? And what I want to emphasize to us, because this is actually a burden in my heart, I realized it. You know, last week when I traveled, I went to one of our senior brothers, went to his church.
And so we're just asking, how's the church like and all of that? And he said that, oh, it's a very nice church. That when they first moved in there, they were 80% white, 20% black. All right, that's in Georgia. That they were 80% white and 20% black. He said, until we got a black pastor. And then a huge chunk of the white people moved away. And they became 50% black and 50% white. And we attended the church, in my opinion, that Sunday service. They looked more to me like 65%, okay, maybe 50% black, 30, another 15% other, you know, Chinese people, Asians, you know, stuff like that. And then to me, the whites were not in the minority. And please, I'm trying to get somewhere here. And I said, this is what I've always said is a problem. If you read my article, The Limit of God, I explained something there, this principle inside that that material. And so they were just saying that the white people will never come. They don't like, well, don't let me use the word never. They don't come to a church pastored by a black man. But black people will go to a church pastored by a white man. They don't mind. But if it's the other way around, it's very difficult. So the summary of it is that, now this is my summary. This is my own summary. They don't think so. Most people don't think so. But here, Pastor Banky's summary. The summary of it is that the only reason racism persists in the world is because the church is racist. There's no second reason. Because we are the salt of the earth. The church is a pillar of truth. If God wants to bless this earth, he shines light into it. And the only way he shines light into the earth is through the church. That's what we read here when he said that the church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. That thing I said is very important. If you read my article, The Limit of God, I explained that thing in there. That you find out that Mahatma Gandhi, when he was in South Africa as a lawyer, one day he read the Bible, he investigated Christianity, and decided that indeed, Christians, to be a Christian is the right thing to be. So on Sunday, he dressed up and went to a church. And that was the mistake he made. I look back now, I wish he never did. I wish this man never went to a church. I wish he was like Derek Prince, who got stoned into the middle of a war with a Bible, who got converted on a battlefield with nobody to disciple him, but the Holy Spirit and his Bible. Because Mahatma Gandhi entered into a church on a Sunday and they threw him out because he wasn't white. He made the mistake of going into a white church. And they looked at him and said, who's this nigger? You know, he's not really exactly a nigger, but you know, something like that. I'm just joking, all right? They threw the man out of church. And they left the church and said, I would have been a Christian except that I met a Christian. That was his statement, credited to him. He said, I would have been a Christian except that I met one. So, he reputed also have said that, I don't like the Christian, but I like their Christ. And his whole principle non-violent resistance was built on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. Why did he refuse to be a Christian? Said, these people don't represent one bit of the Christ they claim to believe in. There's nobody to follow here. So when my friend said that thing, when we're in their church, I mean, it's something I had understood. I realized that if there's darkness in the world today, it is because there's darkness in the church. Let me quickly drop this one before I go forget to say it. The major reason corruption thrives in Nigeria is because churches are corrupt. Pastors are corrupt. They use the word of God to collect money. If they do that, there is no way PDP will change. The worst corruption in Nigeria is in the church. You must understand these things are relative. If an Alhajis marries four wives, he will get to heaven. If not, you understand what I'm saying? When they get to the gate of heaven, he will just say, Menini, David, I call David an Anfa. That's my house account. Is David inside there? Say yes. Hey, come on, open door, my friend. Not only wife, four wives I married. Where's Solomon? Now, Bonham, or now, bless him. If you just mistakenly say Solomon is not on fire, the guy's like, you are not sending me to any fire. Think about it. So, God has never once in his life frowned on the unbeliever that has four wives. It's good. I hope you understand what I mean by good, though. I'm not saying you go and read. You are not an unbeliever. What are you looking for here?
That things, you know, Christians, when they want to confuse and say something, they just make me laugh. The reason why all these women are going to hell fire is because they have earring. God will bless any woman that wants earring with earring. That's the least of his problems. God doesn't even send you to hell fire. You know, I hate tattoos. You know what they call tattoo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, when we get to heaven, I'm sure there will be many guys there with tattoos. He said, "Yeah, dog, you're right here, man. Okay? Carry your tattoo." Doesn't matter. Listen, let people want to get angry. You will go to heaven with your tattoo. Yes. The Lord is good. I'm going somewhere. All right? If you understand what some things that God is not looking out for, it's around nonsense. All right? So, when we look, you think God is sending Nigerian politicians to hellfire because he chopped money? Lie. Chopping money for him is the least of his problem when it comes to unbelievers. An unbeliever chops money, is his nature. What annoys God with the unbeliever is that he refuses to believe. I don't know what I get my point. That is God's problem. It is not the chopping of money. It is the refusal to believe. The people he's angry with on chopping of money is Christians. Okay, let's get back to that weed smoking. He will not sit you down. Say you. Why are you smoking weed? You want me to crazy on the earth? You get what I'm saying? You know, someone was cracking a joke today in a chat group, WhatsApp group. He said that a man, the difference between finished and complete. If you marry a good wife, you are complete. If you marry a bad wife, you are finished. He said he did not say that if you're a married man, that if your wife as a married man catches you with another woman, you're completely finished. I replied, I said, catch or not. That was my own response. I said, catch or not. If you're a Christian, as a believer, I'm talking to Christians, I said, if you're a married man, you are with another woman, you are completely finished. Whether they catch you or they don't catch you. That was my, somebody said, hey, correct, sir. I said, that is the truth. Let's forget this catching thing. You're completely finished. Ab initio, that is, by yourself. You're just finished. It is not the catching. People think it's the catching. Even if God doesn't catch you, which is impossible, you are still finished anyway. Why? Because a bad thing is a bad thing. You say, hey, what happened? I just finished sniffing cyanide. They didn't catch me. Have you ever heard of that before? Somebody said, I just chopped cyanide. They did not catch me. Cyanide is known for killing people while they are alive. You know what I'm saying? That is, if a pathologist goes to where a man that ate a bit of cyanide, he's just alive, but you don't know he's dead. That is, everything in his body is perfectly okay. His heart is good, liver good, everything is good, but the man is dead. Whether they catch you or not, doesn't matter. That's how sin is. It's not did they catch me. Who's talking about catching you? You've been poisoned, man. You're poisoned. You're dead meat. I'm bringing an issue. So that's it with Christianity. Are you getting my point? They are the ones that God is angry with, that they stole money. What do you concern God with unbelievers stealing money? If he doesn't steal money, who will steal it? An unbeliever should steal money. That is his nature. You now come and say, hey, I caught that man. What happened? Hey, Allah, I saw Allah Dangote. I saw him. He has two girlfriends in your neck. They will call you and say, oh, what? Are you all right? But if he say, Pastor Bank, what happened? One girlfriend, no, not one complete girlfriend. Half. No, not even half. One quarter. You notice that spot? Because it's not my nature. It is not allowed. But if Elijah shows up, two girlfriends here, one in Lagos, four wives at home, it's just a Mohammedan fashion. There's no problem. In case you don't know, Mohammed had nine wives. Not four. I was reading one of my Muslim books last night. And the man said, that's why he stopped being a Muslim. He didn't understand why Muhammad could have nine wives. He could only have four. He said, different rules for different people. The guy not agree. He was very angry. And when he started asking questions, he now beat him and put him in prison. Ah! So when they went to church, those ones, he could question them and they would answer. Ah, so these people are better people. So he decided to be a Christian. Now, please, you've gotten my point. I've talked plenty, but you've gotten my point. That the time God is angry, yes, that's what I'm talking about, is when Christians are now the ones doing the evil. And I'm saying to you
that as far as I understand in Nigeria of today, the major problem God has when it comes to reforming the nation is when the church has not been changed. Let me drop this one for you before I close. My time is actually up. Maybe I'll pick it up next time. All right? Let me go back to that racism thing as an example. I've known that for a very long time. If the church in America will stop being racist, the racism will die in the whole nation. Not because the church will start campaigning. No. It is because they are the light and they are the salt. So the light shines out of that place. It just shines out. It just shines out. You give them one generation, the history of racism will be over. There will be nothing like that. That is, you get to the USA today now, and you find out that when you enter a church, the white man doesn't care whether it's a black man or a white man that's pastor, or whether the guy sitting beside him, all right, on the other side is a white, doesn't care. Of course, cultures may differ. You know, I understand the issue of difference of cultures. I mean, if you go to a place, they are speaking Spanish. You don't have to be racist to move away from where they are speaking Spanish to where they are speaking English. Are you getting my point? But beyond that, when it comes to the matter of races, all right, if we get to a point where we don't care at all, I say to you, within one generation, the whole of that nation won't know the meaning of the word racism. Affirmative action will be wiped. They won't need affirmative action for anything. Not if the world, if the church just agrees that we are one body in Christ Jesus. If the church just finally agrees that he has made one body of all races. If the church will just agree. And the same manner, let's get back to our own problem here. This corruption matter. Just by the way, please start praying, all right? We are going back on radio. I'm almost certain we'll get back on Enugu also. But all our radio broadcasts have been rearranged now. They are breaking down to 10 minutes 3 times a week, all right? I want to be in people's faces as often as possible. So 3 times a week minimum. So I want to be doing everywhere we are. So we are going to start, well, maybe we'll try to that like that, 10 minutes, 3 times a week. Part of it, I thought about it yesterday. That, you know that blessing and cursing thing? I won't put on there. When I finish preaching, this week, all those of you who will be a blessing to your neighbor, may God increase you. If you steal for your neighbor, you will die. The soul that sin it, he shall die. That is, people say, what? Say, yes, let me tell you the truth. I say, every policeman that investigates a case on his merit and punishes the wicked and releases the innocent, may God increase you and make you great, establish your children. Any policeman this week that locks up an innocent man for what he will get out of him, may God paralyze him. I'm still checking how I do it. No, I'm sure. If I make up my mind, yesterday came to mind. I'll go on. One dose every broadcast. One dose today, now for politician, tomorrow, now for pastor. No, I go release some kind ones. They say this kind of pastor is this one. Any lecturer that says a guy will not graduate until she settles him. Does the Babylon go down and not rise again? Every man goes, oh, God, forget you. All girls, graduate now. I know if you shout. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I know. I just watch out. I'm still considering it. But this thing needs to be done one way or the other. In one way or the other. I've been preaching to my friends who are pastors. This is your grace of it shall be well with you. Don't, it's too much. You have to add something to it. Mountain of blessing and mountain. If you do that for 1 year, listen, this country goes so good. You'll be going on the road. Somebody say, please, oh, before Pastor Banky kills me. If all the pastors do it, I'm telling you, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. One of the major reason corruption persists in our country is because it thrives amongst us believers. That's number one reason. A lot of Christians don't realize what corruption is. Let me close because of time, please. A lot of people don't realize it. I've talked to pastors before. They say that's the only way we get money. I said, listen, you see, you don't understand. You cannot use lying. I mean, because once a policeman, when one of our friends was walking with police and trying to ensure that they stop arresting, you know, this kind of just go out at night, arrest people. A policeman actually told him that that's how we get money to run the station. I'm serious. I won't point to the police station. Somewhere not too far away from here. No, not this one. If you go like this, you turn like this, it's on that road. You do. The policeman actually told him that. So he said to the policeman, he said, "Officer, don't worry. If you catch the criminals, he'll give you all the money you want." So he was telling him, in effect, steal from the criminal. Don't collect from the innocent. Why I told that story is that that's the argument we pastors use sometimes. That we lie with the word of God. And we claim that that's the only way we can get money to build the church. Anytime we say that, if a policeman sees the other one, he's also justified. And God will not punish him as long as he has not yet punished us. Because judgment must begin in the house of God. One of the reasons why Christians are not shining as light is because of ignorance. Their hearts are in darkness. There are things I say, sometimes Christians are shocked. Like I gave an example the other day. I was preaching on a church. I told them that any business you were not doing, like maybe building, doing roads, procurement, and all of that, that you suddenly start because your uncle is now a minister. I said, you do it as a Christian, hear the word of the Lord, you are going to prison. So I'm like, what? They've never heard that before. They thought you should have been breakthrough and I would have given tithe and offering. I'm saying to you today again, that's pure corruption. Because you started a business counting purely on your uncle's patronage. You should know that it's corruption. You don't expect it to be fair. You're not walking by faith. I realize that most Christians have never heard that. And that's the prayer point I said because of time. I just want to get down to it. Hopefully, I'll pick it up from that later. All right, Israel, remind me, please. Let's get back to our school of Bible exegesis later. But next week, let me finish this thing I'm talking about, praying for the Church of Christ. All right? We need to pray for the Church of Christ. Lord, send men that will give us understanding into the harvest field. The church needs it. Jesus looked at them. He said he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. And sometimes I look at it. Christians today, listen to me. They are sheep, most of them, without shepherd. No direction. They go to churches where the head of the churches bear the name pastor, but it's just purely an administrator. The word pastor is not an administrative position. I hope you understand what I'm saying. What is a pastor? A pastor is a man, the woman you go to ask spiritual questions. That's it. That name that drops to your mind when suddenly confusion arises in your home. You get my point? And you say, what does the word of God say about this? That's the meaning of the word pastor. So he said, I'll give them pastors after my own heart who will fill them with knowledge and with understanding. That's the job of a pastor. He's not an accountant. He doesn't check, how much money do we have in the church? He's not the building supervisor. Look at the scripture. That's the meaning of the word deacon. If you read the Bible well, if Miles Monroe said, he's not even supposed to be the one visiting the sick. Any senior Christian can visit the sick. All of them are anointed. The anointing in my hand and yours, they are the same when it comes to that area. Where our anointing should differ is how I handle the word of God because I have a calling in that direction. That's it. You need to pray. Most people go to church and they are not talked to by pastors. They are not. A lot of it shall be where people. They are not bad people. They are just evangelists. They don't know how to say any other thing more than encourage you. You can do it. You can get up. You can move. Greatness. Gosh, gosh, gosh. Ah, I like that church, man. You know, they make me, bubble. But if they don't bring you words of correction, no matter how much they encourage you, you will never be blessed. No matter how much you encourage, you will never be blessed. You go there 20 years with encouragement, every day encouragement. Somebody needs to come and say, oh boy, come here. Twist your ear and tell you the truth. These are the precepts of God. Obey this. That is why I said, I was raising my prayer point today, just because, as is usual now, Chris,
We talk. We not reach the prayer side. Eh? But this is a prayer point. Let me drop it and we'll go. Okay? We, as individuals, we need to say to God, send us understanding in the body of Christ. Because without that, this country is not changing. I've realized it. We have to know what is a church. A lot of us think buildings are churches. We have to come to it. Our minds must understand it. That buildings are not churches. Human beings are churches. And listen, go to like, try and do a round of like 10 churches. And you see what I'm saying is not a lie. It's uncommon, especially in what we call Pentecostals today, amongst them. It's uncommon to hear people teach the truth for the sake of truth. That thing will not change by itself. As I started by talking about how prayer works, it's not because you and I said, no, Lord, it's enough. Henceforth, we want to hear truth. And when you pray that prayer too much, let me tell you kind of that start happening so that you get prepared. You start hearing stories, churches scattering, and one pastor fighting wife from the pulpit. Eh? What happened? It's your prayer. You are the one that wanted the members to scatter. And the other they removed. I'm serious. Things will start, then some pastor will go on retreat, show up again, hot on. All kinds of things will happen. And you think, why now? Well, we're praying for peace. It's because this is the first step of peace. It's the first step of peace. So get ready for it. Let me let you go home. I've spoken at length. Let's just rise to our feet quickly. Let's just say to the Lord, we thank you for understanding. Let's just quickly give him thanks. Let's just quickly give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Just say simply, say, Lord, let your will be done in my life in the name of Jesus. Let your will be done in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, let your will be done in this church. That's your church. That's the church of Christ, I mean, on this earth, on this nation especially. Say, Lord, feed us with truth. Give us pastors after your own heart who will feed us with knowledge and with understanding. We want direction. We want to know your precepts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Everybody just say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, we declare insight in the body of Christ. Say, Lord, let your light fill your body in Jesus' name. Lord, say, raise men of understanding. Raise women of understanding. And let them take positions of pastoring in the name of Jesus. Now, that prayer is simple, but it's very profound. Let them, God give them platform. That's what we are saying. Where they will teach people your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.